Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Define You Radio, classes in session. If you guys notice, I did not have the intro play this time. Okay, you know it's a battle with me and the intro. So I'm what y'all got right now. Define You Radio is where you get the life lessons, strategies, and more to teach you how to define life on your own terms. I am your host, the Southern Belle of Bold, Valencia Griffin Wallace. And, of course, I am joined with my hot seat queens, LaVon and Shannon, if y'all want to say hey to the audience.
Good evening.
Hello, audience.
Y'all so cute. But tonight is not Hot Seat Tuesday. Y'all know normally we have Hot Seat Tuesday. It's not Hot Seat Tuesday. It is Wow Wednesday. And we are joined by Miss Toni Simmons Henson, the co-founder and producing director of the ABTF Atlanta Black Theater Festival. If you didn't know, now you know. That's why it's Wild Wednesday. This woman is phenomenal. I can't wait to get into her story and hear more about the festival. So before we kick off the show, make sure you are following the Define You Radio's Facebook page to keep up with shows and more, because you never know who will be on next or when the queens are on vacation. I'm trying to help you guys out, okay? And I want to let y'all know that I'm working on my attitude right now, because I am a little angry because I'm cutting my cord. That's probably Shannon laughing. And if you are connected with Shannon, you know she is the carb police. She is the fitness guru. I can't even pronounce it right. The word's just disgusting. But I have to stop playing with these extra pounds, because the Atlanta Black Theater Festival is happening in October, and I will be there, and I refuse to bring Krispy Kreme with me. I'm going to leave that alone. We're going to go ahead and bring Miss Toni on. Miss Toni, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you.
Great. I'm so happy to be here.
How do you feel about my carb issue going on right now? Can you lend some words of support?
Oh, my God.
Well, I got to stay encouraged and think about how beautiful those pictures are going to look when you're posing.
Mm.
But I got a few Krispy Kremes myself, so I'm with you.
I just need to know, is there a Krispy Kreme close by where the festival is happening so I could leave the festival and just go straight there? I just need to know.
No, there is no Krispy Kreme near the Porter Sanford. And that's a beautiful thing.
Look at God.
There's a Dunkin' Donuts, though.
Okay. Shannon will be far away from me. Those pictures will not be posted. Okay, Miss Toni, we're not going to post those pictures of me eating donuts. So tell us about the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the festival started in 2012. And I'm going to start with my story, but it has grown to be known as the festival of 40 plays in 4 days. It really literally is a marathon of theater. You can OD on theater, and it's just one good dynamic show after the other. And the only thing that you're going to be mad about is that you don't have the energy to see yet another play, because we start early in the morning at 10 a.m. and we run until midnight, sometimes until 1 in the morning. And if you are a theater addict, you can definitely come and OD. But just to tell you about my story, it started in 2010. I call myself a serial entrepreneur. I've owned many businesses, franchises. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and the last business that I owned, it was like the franchise was making more money than I was, and then the bottom dropped out of it. I lost over $100,000 in investments, and then the recession hit, 2008, 2009, 2010. Y'all remember that? And we, as a family, I have four children. I've been married for 29 years. We, as a family, we hit rock bottom as well, and went through some really, really tough times. And I ended up declaring bankruptcy, and I say that because I was encouraged to declare bankruptcy because I was sued by the franchise company, the franchisor, and they sued me for $500,000, and they knew that they were trying, I knew that they were trying to destroy me, and I'll spare you the details of that, but I knew it was the enemy. I don't know about you folks who believe in spiritual warfare, but I knew it was the enemy trying to push me out into a different space and place. But I couldn't understand why, because I always considered myself to be a listener. But I guess I just had to go through, and sometimes we don't know why, we just go through. So deep in depression, broke, busted, disgusted, 2010 came, 2011 came, couldn't even find a job working at Walmart. And there's nothing wrong with Walmart. It's honest living, honest work, but that's where it was. And I've been blessed. I have a degree in business. I have a master's degree from NYU, undergrad from Howard, and I could not get a job doing anything. My husband was working in New Jersey. He couldn't find a job in Atlanta. We had decided we were going to move to Atlanta. So anyway, fast forward. One night, about on a really hot August night, I heard four words, Atlanta Black Theater Festival. And I had done theater producing part-time, not too much, pretty much as a hobby. I had an acting academy when I was in New Jersey because I'm originally from New Jersey. Ran that. It was very successful. My gift is sales and marketing, so it was very successful. Won some awards, got some accolades and some major magazines like Entrepreneur Magazine. And I was like, Atlanta Black Theater Festival? It was so intuitive, I thought it already existed. Now, mind you, I had just moved to Atlanta in 2007, so I'd only been here for 5 years. And 3 of those 5 years, I was in a sunken place, so I didn't know. And I thought it existed. So I got up, and when I tell you, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I started Googling and doing research, and I realized that it did not exist. And I knew that that was God calling me to start and create a platform. So at the same time, my sister, who had moved here as well, had a job with the state. She got laid off, and when she got laid off, she was in dire straits as well. So we were like, okay, let's just do this. Let's pool our resources. You move in. We had a three-story home, and she moved in the lower level, which was like an apartment in of itself, and we said, you move in, we pool our resources, and you save money, you contribute to our household, because we're dying over here, and she was like, sure. And it just so happened that she had worked with the National Council of Negro Women in the 1990s when they used to do the Black Family Reunions, which were festivals that went from city to city. So she brought those skill sets. I brought the business skill sets. So we sat down and we worked from December of 2012. I had already started, but she moved in with us in December. And October 2011, in October 2012, we launched the Atlanta Black Theater Festival. And it was over 2,500 people in attendance right out the gate. And we did 40 plays in 4 days.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say or where to start, because that is like, number one, thank you for being so honest and transparent, because, you know, you did talk about your bankruptcy and going into that sunken place. And we've done shows about that, You know, people mm-hmm. don't want to talk about the ugly side. We just want you to see us like, yay, everything's great in life. So when people get in the sunken place or go through, you know, some serious times, people feel alone. They don't want to talk about it. But I know Queen Shannon had a question, so I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to her. Queen Shannon, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. So, Ms. Tony M., and like Valencia said, I definitely applaud you for transparency. I'm huge on that. Now, me and Valencia kind of made a joke out of it. Well, not out of it, but from my aspect, having lost everything, and I've read your story, you know, and then some things also happened with the theater even as you after you got started.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, Every dollar needs to be in its place when I'm calculating everything.
Mm-hmm.
So having lost that stuff and having gone through what you've gone through with the theater, what was the thing that kept you pushing? What kept you in the mindset that, okay, I'm not going to give up on this theater, I'm going to keep going? What was that one thing?
Well, that's funny that you asked, because at that point in time we knew we were on to something. We knew we had struck a pulse, and I kept hearing these words, we must tell our stories. We must tell our stories.
Mm-hmm.
And in February of 2012, that's when Trayvon Martin got shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was assassinated. And at that point in time, something stirred in me, because I had a son the same age as Trayvon, who also played football. And I remember that famous picture of him. And I like every black mother or person in this country
yeah.
who has a pulse, that struck to us. That was like, to me, that was like the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. I don't think that there
right.
had been that type of vibration throughout the community, even though there were several incidents and unjustifiable killings since. But I think it was just something about this Trayvon Martin that just changed who I was. And what it did was it gave me a why. And I think whenever you do something, mm-hmm. you got it. And I said, we have to tell our stories. And I've never been apologetic about, you know, who I am. And, you know, I've always been proud. I raised my children to be proud of Afrocentric, you know, all the way, you know, from natural hair to whatever. But mm-hmm. the thing that was important to me was not about proving to other people that we are valid human beings that need to be respected. It was about proving to ourselves, to the community, that we were valid. We needed to tell ourselves, because, you know, there's a saying that goes, get your love from home. And what I wanted to do is I was compelled at that point to create an environment where people can come and hear their stories and yet feel loved. Feel validated, be called queen. And I remember back in when I was growing up, everybody used to call each other brothers and sisters. And I wanted to bring that. I wanted to create an atmosphere where people would walk in the door and be acknowledged and look eye to eye. And I wanted them to feel good about themselves. And to me, that was the antidote to getting through that time. So with the storytelling, because stories make you human. With the storytelling
yeah.
and the choices and the selections that we had that was just fell into place. I can't even take the credit. That's why I talk about where I came from bankruptcy and not having nothing, because stuff like this is only from God. It's only
yeah.
as a result of listening to and responding to a call, because there's no way in the world 300 artists the first year, me and my sister, are you kidding 300 artists, 3 stages, tech crew, all of that, nothing but God. But that's, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, absolutely. I'm almost speechless, and y'all know that don't happen. That does not happen.
She's not lying, Miss Tony. She is not lying. She is not lying. But I love everything you just said. And I remember you know, when Trayvon Martin died. And if you, like you said, anybody, any, especially, you know, a black woman with a pulse and with a son or male in your life, like that became them. It made you a little bit more protective. It made you have those talks you didn't want to talk about because you didn't think they were old enough. And you, it kind of forced us into a position of fight or flight, you know? And when you say that, and I think about ABTF, that was your okay, I'm not going to run from this. This is my fight. This is how we're going to fight this. So I do love that and wanted to say that. Now, the first year, I know, like, you had a lot of people come out and everything else, and some people would look at that as like, wow, that was so successful, but then you didn't make the money you thought you were going to make, or, you know, what happened after that first year? Like, because you had to be riding high when you saw all the people that came to the festival, but then what happened?
Yeah. The bills came. And we were in a spot where, and I have to be careful about the way I say it, because I felt
yes.
as though some concessions should have been given, but they weren't to some of the vendors. But the bills came, and the last people to get paid were the artists. And
right.
I said to myself, I said, you know what? I can't not pay the artists. That's crazy. To me, you know, those are the ones who, you know how we do. Some of them didn't pay their mortgage or their rent. To be there. You know, they packed up. We had, you know, people from 18 states that came into Atlanta. Some of them, you know, had their church congregation frying fish to get the theater, you know, the people to Atlanta. So it was critical that they had to be paid. And, you know, quite honestly, my sister, who was unemployed, and I couldn't take any more out of the household because I had already took us to the bare bones negative. So my mother said, you know what, I'm going to loan you this money because I see your vision. And she loaned us $15,000 so we could pay the artist. So I thank God for her because she saw our heart and she saw our need and she saw the risk. Because, you know, who does this? Who wakes up and says, the Atlanta Black Theater Festival, and then in the first year loses $15,000 and is looking around saying, you know, I got to borrow after bankruptcy, after a failed business. I mean, who says I'm going to loan it? Again, nothing but God. So when she loaned the money, I said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Uber had just started and when I tell you Uber was a lifesaver, because that's when Uber was paying a whole lot of money, and I could drive Uber. Y'all laughing, but it's the truth. I could drive Uber, and it's funny because when people get in the car Uber, everybody asking, "Yeah, what do?" I was like, "Well, again, it was humble pie, you know, because when I would have never thought, you know." Really, honestly, I would have never thought 30 years after or 25 years after graduating from Howard University and NYU that I would be driving Uber. But, you know, humble pie again. And I took my lick because at the end of the day, I had to pay these people and I had to pay my mother back. And I was making about $1,000 a month driving Uber. And I was able to pay my mother back it took me about a year and a half, but I was able to pay her back.
I love and I respect that so much because a lot of people will have, like, I have a vision and I'm going to do this and God showed me the mountain, but when it's time to climb the mountain, we don't want to put on, you know, I don't have no shoes, but you got that raggedy pair of shoes in your closet. That'll get you up there. You know, and I love that, like you said, humble pie. People want, they want the Oprah effect. They want the Oprah gonna call me so I'm not going to do nothing in between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've said this. Okay, confession moment. I have said this, okay? But that's not reality. You have to do that grunt work, and I respect you, like, so much more. I already respected you and everything from before, but, like, just I respect you so much more just hearing these things, and I know the audience can relate to having that vision that you really got to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that. Queen LaVon, I know you have some questions, so if you want to go ahead.
Yes, I do. I have a question, Ms. Toni, because I have, you know, been a part of plays and, you know, actually directed some plays, so I know the amount of work that goes into even a small play or a skit. To be able to do 40 plays in 4 days is like a tremendous feat. So during that time, what allowed the actors, all of the performers, you know, yourself, everyone that was a part of making sure the productions happen on schedule and according to the time, what kept the momentum going during this time? What kept them pushing and pressing to get to the end?
Well, we put together, and this is what a lot of people don't know about, because they show up and they want the play to start on time. They don't know that, you know, you just this is play number 28, and you know they show, you know how we do, we show up with our hands and our hips. You know,
yeah,
ain't gonna start on time.
Guilty.
And the truth
guilty.
Of it is,
I'm guilty. I'm guilty too.
The truth of it is, we do start on time, but we put together a system that where we put people in place, and we nurture the producers through emails and webinars throughout the year, so that people know and understand that it really ain't about you. It's about pop-up theater. So you got to come in. You got to do what you got to do. And then we incentivize them by taking money out of their ticket sales if they don't get out on time. So it's positive reinforcement.
That's motivation.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
So you will come, and we do start on time. Every single play will start on time. And when I say on time, I mean maybe a 10-minute grace. If it's late, it'll be 10 minutes, 15. We've never had anything more than 15 minutes late. So, yeah, it will start on time.
That's when you start charging at the 15-minute window?
No, we start charging at 5 minutes.
Oh, no, that's right.
Yes. But, you know,
that
there's
a
lot
great,
of coaching. There's a lot of training that goes into it, a lot of preparation, and we try to make people understand and know that that's their time slot. And if anything more than that, they're infringing on somebody else's paid space. So it's really that simple behind the scenes.
That was a great question. LaVon is the thinker of the show. She brings a calm to Shannon's crazy.
Wait,
I'm just the mediator.
Wait, what?
Shannon, we'll just discuss this offline, off show. I love you though. Have you ever had someone, like, it was their first time doing a play, and they get ready to go on, and I'm talking about one of the playwright producers, and they get ready to go on, and it's time for the show to start, and they, like, get sick, like, they can't do it, like, you know, anxiety kick in, like, I can't handle this audience, like, have you ever had that happen? Like, somebody just freak out.
Oh, we did. We had that situation not before the show, it was after the show. We had a woman that did a, she was just so freaking talented. She laid it all. It was a one woman show. She came from California. She laid it all out on the floor. And then after the show, she didn't have anything else to give, and she just literally collapsed right in the lobby. And it was unbelievable, the performance. But so we definitely have had people, and that just gives you an idea of what people bring to the stage and the caliber of work that is being presented during the festival, it's no joke. It is astounding. It is an astounding theatrical experience. Outstanding theater. It is bar none. I'm telling you. I have many, many stories of reactions and how people have just walked away, just moved, and or having laughed or having grown or having been motivated or provoked, or it's just a range of emotions, a range of emotions. It's just a fun time.
I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. And guys, kings, queens, if y'all listening live or whether you catch the show, you know, afterwards, like most of y'all do, make sure you go to AtlantaBTF.com and check it out, see what's going on, and be there, be in the building, because we must tell our stories, we must see our stories, we must be emotional behind our stories. Like, I'm just excited. Like, this, you may have made this carb thing easier for me, okay? I'm just going to say that. So I know it's a lot of different things going on. You just mentioned a one-woman show. What types of plays and other things are going on at the festival?
That's another great question. There's a little bit of everything. We envelop you with culture and art. We have international vendors where we have people that bring in unique wearable art, from jewelry to handmade bags to handmade dresses, tops. I got a guy bringing handmade sandals. That's one aspect. And I'm not a shopper, but I realize that a lot of people like to shop, and they just go crazy because there's stuff that you won't see or you won't see anywhere else. But at the festival, some people come just to shop. And that's just, for me, just a testament to the quality of the vendors. We also have what we call acoustic accents, which is like pop-up performances. We have a cafe, so you know, when you're around a lot of artists, we've got about 270-something artists coming this year to perform. They have other talents. You know, some of them are poets. Some of them are they might be actors, but they might be singers. So we just kind of let them do their thing. I don't want to call it open mic, but it's kind of like think that open mic feel, but it's called where they get a chance to express other sides of their talents rather than stage, on stage acting. And then we have classes, master classes for people who want to and aspire to be playwrights. A lot of people don't understand or know the process that it takes to develop a play. And what we walk you through that, all the elements of playwriting. And we have relationships with some professors and award-winning playwrights who come in and they'll teach and they'll critique your script. We have some mock auditions. We got some celebrity. I have some celebrity friends that are character actors, so they're not big name headliners, but they certainly have seen them on OWN Network, Aspire TV, Up TV, and those types of shows. You'll see them on Have and Have Nots, all those shows. They in Atlanta, they come and they teach and they share their wisdom in a session called Ask the Experts. So there's a lot happening that we call that creative connections, and we usually have those in the morning, and then we're having a town hall meeting where we're going to celebrate each other, celebrate theater, and we've got a nice chef called Chef Fonda. She's going to be bringing some. I'm sorry, her name is Fonda. She's the coordinator. Her husband is Chef. It's Chef Perry. He's going to be creating some nice chicken and waffles for the town hall, doing a town hall talk. So it's just community, you know. It's just community coming together. It's community musically. You know, we love music, putting us together musically. We love shopping. It's just a lot of loving on each other. And it's not. It's just. It's to me, it's the most healthy space that I've ever been in my life, because everybody, you know, is making eye. It's just that atmosphere. And that's how you know it was born of spirit, because it's just that atmosphere of people just connecting and sharing. But theater does that anyway. But I think the spin that we're able to put on it with the vision of love and where it was rooted from, people just come in and they just, I don't want to sound, you know, like it's touchy-feely, because, you know, that turns off the men, but men come in, you know, giving each other the nod, and they, you know, they impressing, they date, so they come in with their fellas, they might pick up a date. It's just all of that that is community and us. It really, really, really is, and y'all laughing, but it's true. It's true, and we eat, we got chicken wings, we got the best grilled wings on this side of the East Coast or the Southeast. And people eat. We got fried fish Friday, you know. So it's just everything that's yeah. Afrocentric and cultural. You'll experience it at the festival.
So I've been taking notes on everything you just said. So, okay, because I'm going to be there all the days, all of them. I have to take the master class. Hopefully I have time to do that. I'm going to get my carbs on. Channing
no
with the chicken and waffles.
No,
I promise.
I'm a
waffle.
I thought when she
up.
Said that. No, when she
you
said that,
about
I said to myself, Valencia, no waffles. None.
And I love that. And I think that was probably Shannon that had to laugh when you said, get a date, because, you know,
I
me did. And LaVon are working on hooking Shannon up. So Shannon may have to skip other plans and come to Atlanta so I can find her. And, you know, I know in the Bible it says he who finds a wife, but he can get past the sticky note from me. So I'm just saying. And, you know, another note about Shannon, because this is really what I thought about, because Shannon is a singer and a performer, and she sings, oh, my gosh, she brings tears to my eyes. And I try to sing with her. I don't know if you remember that in New Orleans, but we're not going to talk about that part, because we're not going to talk. I cannot sing, Miss Tony. I just want to say that. I cannot, but that don't stop me from trying. That does not stop me from trying. Queen LaVon, go ahead.
Okay, I didn't know you were going to put me on the spot. I thought you were going to ask the question. Okay, thank you. So my question, Miss Tony, was, in the process of, you know, selecting the artists, the performers that will be coming to participate in the festival, can you kind of take us through that process?
Wow, that is good. That's another good question. We start out with a rubric, and it's a scoring tool that we use, and we encourage people to volunteer. People who have been in the festival, who have won awards, or university professors, again, we have a relationship with several of them. Anybody can volunteer if they have a certain level of, if they have a certain palette or a level of expertise with regard to knowing what a good script and recognizing what a good script is. It could be a theater student or whatever. And I'll send out when the submissions come in. Submissions open on January 1st, and we review them until March 1st. And anything that scores a 90 or better, it used to be 80 or better, but since our beginning, we've gotten a whole lot more scripts. So we've raised the bar to 90 or better. Anything that scores 90 or better automatically comes to my desk, and I just spread everything out literally on the table. And I just try to put together a good program with a variety of things. So it's not the same thing. There are people who like urban contemporary plays like Tyler Perry. There's some people like traditional plays like August Wilson. So I'll put together a program what I think is a nice mix of music and dance, gospel, inspirational solo plays, historical themes, and try to put together something that everybody can enjoy. So everybody can find something on the menu of options that they can say, oh, yeah, that sounds like something good that I want to see. You know, a little bit of comedy. We always have some comedy. We usually have some dance. So it just depends on what's provided. And then anything that doesn't make the cut, if it's an 80 or above, or it doesn't make the cut from the, if we run out of spaces like this year, we had more 90 or betters than we had spaces. So that makes it even more difficult. But it's a daunting task because there's so much good work out there. We'll then offer those people a reading of their play. So a lot of people are really excited about the opportunity to read their play at the festival as well. So that's not a fully mounted play. That's a reading. And every playwright knows that the play development is a process. So they're always wanting to get their script in front of people so they can get feedback and grow and develop and as a writer as well as the work that they're presenting. So the audiences love that, the stage readings, because there is like a cheap date. You get in, it's like $7. You go in, you experience a play, but you get to become a theater critic right there on the spot. And at the end of the reading, you can ask the playwright questions. So it's highly engaging and it's a lot of fun. People laugh. Why'd you have that person do that? Why did they say that? You know, you get to get into the playwright's mind. So that's a lot of fun as well. So, but that's the process that we go through to get. And every year, I have to say, every single year, it gets more and more difficult because people really do bring their A game. I mean, they really do.
And I'm glad LaVon asked that last question, and you answered it for everybody that has asked me, how do I get my play in? Y'all just heard Miss Tony. Okay? Basically, it's too late for this year. So
yes,
I want everybody to understand that, because if I get one mo, not more, one mo inbox, I'm gonna leave that there. But I know.
Interject if I can. Can I just interject before you move to the next subject? And
yes,
I think
ma'am.
It's really important for people to recognize and know. I don't know any other profession other than the entertainment business where people believe that natural talent means that they've got it.
It's not that easy.
You know, mechanics go to mechanics school, doctors go to medical school, lawyers go to, you don't know how many people come to me and say, I have this script and I'll read it, or I don't read as many as I used to, but, and they think that it's the best thing since sliced bread. They may have even mounted the play, and it's 20 stories in one play, and a play is 3.5 hours long, and I don't know anybody who wants to sit through a 3.5 hour long play. I really don't. But they really think that is really good. It's just like somebody who sings well in the shower, and they think they can sing, and they think they can. You got to respect the craft. So I don't want to, you know, discourage people, because there's a lot of people out here with raw talent. Definitely the next August Wilson is out there. They just didn't go to school to study it. I just encourage you to take a playwriting class. I mean, just start with that and then come to the festival and see, you know, see what you're up against, because these people ain't no joke. The people that bring their stuff, and it's not that all of them have PhDs in theater. They don't. You can just tell. They've been working on that script, and they've been working on it for, when I say months, years. We've got a play, Jeanette Hill, I believe she's going to be on your show. She told me about this play that she's bringing her play called Clean Sheets. Jeanette told me about this play 3 years ago. Three years. She's been working on this play for 3 years, and she's not even mounting the play. She's submitting it as a reading. So just so people could get a perspective of what it takes to get a play mounted on stage. Because Mom and them like it, because Mom and them going to like anything. But when you want to take your play to the next level and you want to really, really, really have a good product, a good script that's marketable, you really got to know what you're doing. And this is what we try to encourage people to, we open up and encourage people to get them to know that this is what you have to do, this process. This is all a process. And, you know, come check out Creative Connections, too, and talk to some of the professors that are here and find out, what your play needs in order to get for it to be ready to for a reading, not even for a mounting, for a reading.
Mm. Thank you. Because I've taken notes because I thought, I'm not going to say what I thought. We'll discuss that on another show. My thoughts and me thinking, because I'm a naturally talented writer, that I was going to be able to shake something. But I'm going to move on to the next question.
But, you know, even Picasso took art lessons. Even Picasso took art lessons. You know, Beethoven took music lessons. So
I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna work on it. But this would be my bigger question. I know a lot of my friends and network and everybody else, including me, we're authors. But there is a difference between writing a book and writing a play. What would be your advice with someone that has a book that thinks, okay, I think this would be a really great play? You know, what advice would you give someone like that, like me? Or, you know, plenty of other people I know that think, okay, I got this slam, bam, boom, shakalak book. It needs to be a play. What would be your advice?
Quite honestly, I'm not a playwright. So, and I stay in my lane. I'm a marketing person. I'm a producer. I do the business side of theater. It's like, you know, it's I don't know. To be honest with you, I really don't know. But I know people who can tell you. I definitely know some folks who can tell you how to get your book adapted to I write poetry, but I do not write. I read plays. I know how to recognize a script because over the years I've read so many, and I see I've seen it from the page to the stage, the transformation. But honestly, I can't give you any advice on that. I think it's a great question because there's a lot of content that's needed, especially in the digital world, not only on live performances but in digital formats. People are looking for stories. All of these platforms, from online websites to cable networks, all of them are scrambling for good content. So, for someone to be a writer, you definitely cannot. The opportunity, there's no better time than now to be a writer, I think, because people are looking for so much content. So, I recommend you come. Talk to Professor Andre Minkins. He's a playwright, screenwriter, and a professor at Winston-Salem State College, and he's teaching the course called How to Recognize a Good Script. So, and that's during Creative Connections. So I would recommend you come in and pull on his coattail. It's very intimate.
I'm going to be his best friend.
And he's very accessible. It's very intimate. That's the one thing. It's not a haughty experience. Everybody that comes is really down to earth. And, you know, you don't have no people with handlers. You might see somebody that you've seen, you know, on television, and they'll walk right by you. And you know, it's just not pretentious. It's not Hollywood. It's really down. It's a really down experience. So
I'm excited. I'm really excited. Now, I believe you guys are looking for volunteers. I know I saw something about that. Is that still the case? You're looking for volunteers? And tell us a little bit about that. And then Queen Shannon has a question.
Great. Yeah, I'll give a quick answer. We do look for volunteers. Go to the Facebook page or email me at asktony@yahoo.com. Ask like ask a question, T-O-N-I at Yahoo, and I'll send you the link. But we have 256 shifts to fill. That's around the clock, 256. And so far we've gotten 108 people signed up. So we'll be able to almost cover them if each one does two shifts. So we definitely need more volunteers because, you know, attrition, things happen, people don't come or they can't make it or they can't get a babysitter. So we are encouraging people to sign up. You get free tickets to shows if you sign up. We have a very generous package ticket offer for people who sign up to volunteer. But, you know, you just be nice. You just got to be nice. That's the only requirement. You can't be, you know, crabby Gabby. You know?
Eat a lot of carbs before you, honey bun.
Yeah.
All those things
hungry,
that make
you know.
Everybody happy.
Lord have mercy.
That's right. You know, that's what we ask. Just have a pleasant disposition and love to welcome people into your space. And you qualified.
I love that. Queen Shannon.
Yes. So I'm a little jealous because I want to come to Valencia. I'm just going to say that. However, be on the lookout for the handmade sandals for me. Thank you. Love you. Mean it. So, Miss Tony, and so this question is coming from a place where I've actually like LaVon, I've also done some plays myself. I worked with one company, and then, you know, I had a friend that was trying to get their, you know, their thing started. And figuring I knew the person from the other company, I kind of, you know, asked some questions to see if I could help get, you know, hey, can you come together with them, you know, go over some stuff. And it was almost like, well, it wasn't almost. It was like a lot of shade. Not wanting to help, not wanting to, you know, to help somebody else up. So, I mean, I guess in every business you run into that. But, like, what's your take on that kind of behavior? Like, you know, how do you have things set up where you actually, you know, assist people that may want to, you know, want to get started and share a little bit of your knowledge with them?
Yeah, again, I think the root of why we do what we do is, you know, I had an interviewer ask me a question. Do you ever collaborate? And my response is, yeah, we 40 plays collaborate in 4 days, and they put on a festival. Collaboration is what we do. So it's a spirit of collaboration. You may meet, and I think that's the beauty of the network. You've got the biggest game changers in theater coming to Atlanta in October. So you're talking about 30 some odd producers that are coming from all over the country, all over the world. We have somebody coming from Canada and Jamaica, all over the world produce theater. So you could networking with somebody that lives in Toronto, and you're not working with somebody that lives in Arizona. Y'all can talk about what theater's like there. It is a collaboration, and we trade secrets. It's just the tone that we set from the very day one, and all the webinars and all of the people that have been involved in teaching classes. It is the most collaborative space that I've experienced in the arts, because it's really what it's all about. It's about everybody having the space to tell their stories. We talk about that. You know, I don't care if you've been in theater for 30 years and the other person has only been in the theater for 8 months. your time is up at 1:30, and you've got to clean that dressing room because the next person is coming. So that's the spirit. It's the spirit of no big I's and small U's. It's everybody made it. We all made it. And when we all work together to market the festival, everybody comes and gets the benefit of that. So that's the collaboration. But so it spills over into the classroom and people who are coming and aspiring to have their play next year, next year's festival. And that's the first thing I tell everybody who wants to be in the festival, come to the festival so you can see what you can look at the caliber of plays that are here, so you can say to yourself, am I ready? First of all, am I ready? Hmm. And then get to talk to some people who have made it. And we have all kinds of systems in place. I call them systems. They're really parties in place to get you where you're in front of those folks. So it's good for actors too. And I see Facebook as is where I see people are friends with folks that they've met at the festival, and lifelong friends, and people are collaborating. And I have a producer from New York that came down here. He's a producer. He didn't put a play in. He just came and he took one of the plays. He's like, look, I love this play. I want to produce it in my hometown. So he took it to Brooklyn. And the guy was from Atlanta. He would have never made it to Atlanta. I mean, he would have never produced a play in New York, his play in New York. But, I mean, that has happened so many times. I cannot tell you, but people have come here and said, ooh, I love this play. I want to bring it to me. I had a play called Big Girls Gotta Eat Too and the guy came from Louisville. And he said, oh, I want to bring this play to Louisville. So, you know, that spring we packed up, we went to Louisville. So that happens a lot as well. So, yeah, that collaboration is definitely the formula for our success. It's the secret sauce.
That's awesome. That ingredient your grandmother didn't tell you about, that's why your gumbo tastes different for my people in Louisiana. See, I think I'm a natural comic. I really do. It just made sense. Everything I said just made sense. Have you ever had anyone see a play and say, I'm going to make that into a movie? Has that happened?
We had the opposite. Not that I know of. I mean, we've actually put on over 240 plays in the past 6 years. So, but I did have a movie be presented as a play, and it's this guy named Akil Dupont. He is just phenomenal. He won 21 awards for his play called The Underground. His movie. He had a movie called The Underground. And he adapted it into a script, into a play, and took it to all the theater companies all over the Atlanta region, the Southeast region, and nobody wanted to touch it. And the reason when they said to him, we're not going to touch it because you're in theater. So what they did was they impressed upon him their idea of they put him in a box. He's just talented. He's just off the chain talented. He won 21 awards, including a student Emmy for this movie. So he pitched it to us and presented it. So we said, okay, we're going to let you do a reading. And then all of our readings are on a wait list to get a stage. So we said, okay, let's just do a reading. And then somebody dropped out. So then I called him. I said, okay, Akil, you ready to do a play? He was so excited. So he mounted his play for the first time, which was a movie, on the festival. I mean, it was amazing. The show was off the chain, but I could tell he had like all these background people, which you don't use at festivals. But there was some pickups because he was a movie person. He's used to, you know, somebody for, you know, all this, you know, the staff and stuff that comes with it and that you don't really need with productions. And but he managed his people very well, and that's the skill that he brought to the table, that because he could manage a large staff, and he pulled it off. And then somebody was in the audience who then said to him, "Listen, this is a phenomenal piece of work. We're having an all male tribute at the Negro Ensemble Theater Company, one of the theater companies, the historic theater company in New York. We want you to come, and we want you to bring it as a reading, because it costs a lot of money to mount a play." And he went, and he was featured as one of the five brothers for the season to present his play at this historic theater in New York City. So again, it's so many of those stories. It just blows my mind that this is our history in just 6 short years. But yeah, so the opposite has happened, to answer your original question. So we're waiting for it to happen. We're waiting for the alumni to get a big break. We know it's coming.
And yay, that gives me hope for my playwriting skills. I will learn. Then I'm going to put it on. Then it's going to become a movie, and then a Netflix series. So I see. I got. That's the vision. I have laid it out.
Wait, and you forgot that you're going to have Oprah act in it.
We're going to talk about my Oprah stuff, okay? Oh, I'm waiting on my Oprah call, Shannon. Leave me alone. I have a question. Where can we get tickets? Where can we find out more? And what does the future look like for ABTF? I guess that's three questions.
Another good question. You guys really did your homework. I appreciate that. Well, you can pick up your tickets online. The best way to do is go online. The website is atlantabtf.org or .com. You said .com earlier. It's both of them. They'll point you in the right direction. Atlanta spelled out, B is in black, T is in theater, F is in festival. Or you can just Google Atlanta Black Theater Festival. It will come up. And go to the website, and it's going to be overwhelming. I don't want people to get overwhelmed and just shut down. What we encourage you to do is take a look, skim over what's happening, the events that are happening, and then just show up. If you see something that you really, really like, grab your tickets right there, because some of the shows do sell out. But other than that, come and get yourself a couple of tickets. Then show up, and I always say, don't pick a play, pick a day, and just spend the day, just because you can use your smartphone to buy tickets, and then just flash. We're like totally green and totally high tech, so you can buy your tickets right there while you're in line, and then show it to the usher, and you go on right in. So it's that kind of thing. There's a play that goes up every hour. So the box office, we do have a box office for people who don't want to use their smartphone to purchase tickets. The box office closes, though, at 5 o'clock. So anything after 5, you have to use your phone. So you just have to plan that. That's the only thing you really have to plan. But other than that, come and hang out. And then we give you a schedule. We say, okay, well, this is what's happening today. And then you can just look at the schedule and see, that sounds good, or this looks good, or I'm going to hang out in the cafe till this starts, eat me some wings, have me a Heineken or whatever. Or, yeah, the chicken and waffles. Or, you can kind of do it that way, or I'm going to shop, or I'm going to talk to these people, ask them how that show was. It's that kind of thing. It's really like a family reunion. It really is. It's like a family reunion. Come early and stay late. That's my only advice.
I'm going to be there all from beginning to end and past. So where do you see, when you look to the future of, well, before I get to that question, I'm sorry, because this came to me real quick. Do you think if you would not have went through the things you went through, like the bankruptcy and the depression and those things, do you think that ABTF would have came to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I think that I had to be quiet. And, you know, God had, you know, the thing about me was, you know, I was my own idol. So, you know, I was my own idol, and God had to just smash. I mean, I was in my world. I was all about me. And God had to smash those idols in order to get my attention. And I realize that now that I look back and reflect, which might sound a little contradictory, but you know, we all on this journey together. We conflicted. You know, we conflict. That's the beauty of theater. You know, you can go in there. You can say, yeah, I've been through that. There's always a conflict, but you work it out. I think God had to smash some idols in my life, and starting with me. And before I could even get to the point where I could see, it ain't about me, it's all about him, the truth. And as far as the festival in the next 5 years, well, we want to get to year 10, and we want to have an anniversary. We might add some music. We're in talks about doing a YouTube channel. So it's the Port of Sanford is getting ready to open an amphitheater at the end of the year. So we might do some jazz under the stars. So it just depends on how the vision takes place. I'm in the passenger seat. I'm just letting God unfold it, and I'm just riding. I'm just watching like everybody else.
That's true. And then the you literally had to have the breakdown before the breakthrough, and I think a lot of people don't realize that, and they get stuck in that dark place. But there's always a light. But you got to get to that dark place where you alone and by yourself, and like you said, really kind of get smashed and broken almost, because we try to build ourselves up, and we build ourselves up wrong.
Yeah.
That's a hashtag, LaVon.
Yeah.
That's a hashtag. Yeah. That was my preacher's wife,
yes,
preacher woman moment.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Miss Tony, it has been great. Queens, do one of y'all have any last words for I say my piece?
I just want to say that I absolutely love your story, and truth be told, you have inspired me all over again. That's the truth. Valencia, don't know this, and she'll probably get on me later, but I keep moving, but honestly, like the past couple of days, I haven't really felt much like it. I just really could care less. But hearing your story and what it's done for me has made me understand I need to get back into my secret place and be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So your story has truly, truly kind of kicked me in the butt back again and said, okay, this is why you're feeling like this. This is why you're in the mood you're in. So I appreciate you. Your story is awesome. And I'm absolutely going to be looking up the Atlanta Black Theater Festival and trying to find a way for me to get there. So I will definitely be looking that up.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Queen LaVon.
I just have to say I have, like, loved this. I'm like Shannon. I'm like, wow, I need to, you know, amp up my writing skills. You know, I need to take a class. But I'm just thinking the gifts that's, you know, going to be there, that I want to be a part of it. I want to witness it. I want to, you know, just be in the midst of it all and just feel it, you know, not even just see everything, but just to feel it, that true spirit of collaboration, you know, the spirit of the art. So I am super excited, and I'm going to do my best to continue to promote and encourage. I, like, have a list of people that I know. I'm like, you need to go take this class. You need to go. So I'm excited. Continue the work, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
We could make it a girls' trip. I'm going to leave that there. We're going to talk offline. We're going to talk offline, ladies, but I'm going to be there. Now I'm going to make me drag y'all. I'm gonna leave that there, Miss Tony.
Yes,
just wow. There, wow, and wow. I love, you know, you're just awesome. That's what I could say. I'm
aww,
a little tongue tied.
You.
I only had two cups of coffee today. what would you like to leave the audience with before we close out tonight's show?
No matter the medium, no matter the time, day, place, method, we must tell our stories. Stories make us human, makes us connect, it builds community. We must tell our stories.
And that's a hashtag amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Tony, for being on. Kings and queens, do not forget, go to Atlanta. Be like black. T is in theater, F is in festival, AtlantaBTF.org. Or if you go to .com, it'll get you there. Also, get your tickets. I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to drag my queens there because we need some queen time. We need to just feel the whole experience that Atlanta brings, that the festival has. I'm excited. Class will definitely be in session for me there. All the information will definitely be posted on Define You Radio's Facebook page that you should be part of anyway. You could also inbox me in the Queens. If you have any further questions that we didn't answer here, you can connect with Miss Tony at AskTony, T-O-N-I, at yahoo.com. And you guys know you could always inbox us. So with that being said, pens and papers down. Class is officially over. Y'all have a great night. And until next time, remember, your past doesn't define you. It gives you definition. And it's up to you what you do with that. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to Define You Radio. Make sure you connect with the show on Define You Radio's Facebook page or visit ValenciaGWallace.com. Until next time, remember, your past doesn't define you. It gives you definition, and what you do with that is up to you.